Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Pat Kreitlow, pinch hitting for Maggie Dawn. Hopefully feels better and is back tomorrow. If so, I think I know some of the things she'll be talking about. For example, President Trump had an Oval Office event just a little while ago with the president of El Salvador, and not only said that he'd be willing to deport American citizens, and yes, I said that right, deport American citizens, but the White House once again barred the Associated Press from covering the Oval Office event, even though a court of law, said that he had to. I'm sure Maggie will have some things to say about Trump and the rule of law and his threat to again shut down 60 Minutes because he doesn't like their reporting next time that Maggie joins you here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Who's ready for a palate cleanser? What say we talk about movies? Specifically, a movie about beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. That's the name of the movie. Hundreds of Beavers. Named the number 4 best indie film of 2024 by the LA Times. Hundreds of Beavers was filmed during COVID up in the Wisconsin North Woods. No dialogue, shot in black and white on a shoestring budget, and it did not go right to streaming. It had some very nice showings, including one recently in Milwaukee, where it was screened on 35mm film, bringing analog charm with all of its grainy imperfections. And so joining us today is one of the producers of Hundreds of Beavers, Kurt Ravenwood. Kurt, thank you for being here. Nice to see you.
Hey, good to be here. Nice to see you too.
Look, I never thought in all my years of doing radio that I would be talking about a silent film. And yet here I am with no dialogue and a lot of beavers. And it was the movie trailer I didn't know I needed to see until I saw it. And that's where I'm going to leave it. You're one of the people that did all the, you know, that has done the work to have this movie done and to promote it. And so you far better than me can describe if we go see Hundreds of Beavers in a theater or streaming, what are we going to see?
Well, you're going to see physical slapstick comedy like you haven't seen since the early days. And I think the kind of comedy that we really haven't seen on screen since the Zucker Brothers, other, you know, Wisconsin filmmakers, did movies like Airplane and Naked Gun. The director, Mike Cheslick, who's from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, and then the actor and co-writer, Ryland Tews, just really have a big nostalgia for this kind of cinema. Three Stooges, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, but they're also inspired equally by things like video games and Charlie Chan. So like there's all kinds of great influences wrapped up in Hundreds of Beavers. It's not really a truly throwback movie, even though it uses the aesthetics of black and white and silent comedy. But when you watch the film, you'll find that we have a few tricks up our sleeves that bring it to modern audiences.
Yeah, very much so. Because again, if you were to just see little tiny snippets, you'd say, oh, this is one of those slapstick films from the, you know, the 20s, 30s, whatever the case may be. And then you see some of the effects that are brought into play and you go, oh, no, we're marrying, you know, we're in a time warp here. We're taking something that maybe Buster Keaton would have been the lumberjack, and instead we're making it for a modern era. Now, the synopsis reads, in this 19th century supernatural winter epic, a drunken Applejack salesman must go from zero to hero and become North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds of beavers. I hope that's not too much of a spoiler alert.
That about sums it up. You know, man versus beaver, man versus nature, man gets girl. It's really a simple story that everyone can relate to. And the fact that it has no dialogue means it translates well overseas. Hundreds of Beavers has played in hundreds of countries around the world in the last few years, and we've been really excited to see how it's rolled out.
And so that rollout did include a Milwaukee showing. So talk, can you tell us a bit about that? You know, again, what was it about the Milwaukee ad agency that had some ideas to, you know, expose people to it in a way that isn't just, you know, go watch it on your tablet?
Totally. So I'm going to have to educate a little bit on how the movie industry works in order to fully tell this story. Sure. So when you make a movie as an independent producer, you are making a movie that is not in the Hollywood system, meaning it does not have distribution. Now, how it used to work is you would bring your film to a film festival like Sundance or South by Southwest and hope that one of these Hollywood people would see your movie, love it so much, buy it, and get it out to the masses. Now, unfortunately, that did not happen for us. while we did play in some really great film festivals, including the Milwaukee Film Festival in 2023, we had no distribution offers whatsoever. We were told it's black and white. There's no stars in it. It's not based on anything that anyone knows. How are we ever going to market this movie? And so, I'm a producer, but for my day job, I produce commercials. I'm in advertising, and I have an advertising agency here in Milwaukee in Walker's Point called SRH. So when we hit a wall with distribution, we had the idea of, well, let's just do this ourselves. We're marketers. We know how to get butts in seats. We know how to market things. Perhaps we can market a movie. And so in 2024, in the very beginning of 2024, we spent 2 weeks driving a van around the Midwest from Minneapolis all the way to Toronto, screening the movie and one night only screenings all the way. And that 2 week roadshow actually caught the attention of a lot of the industry press. So we got a full feature in the New York Times art section. The LA Times covered it. Variety covered it. All of these major Hollywood players were wondering, hey, how is this movie gaining an audience without a distributor? How is this happening? And the truth is, we just knew we had a movie that people loved and had a lot of fun with. And if we could get a theater owner to agree to put the movie on screens, we could pack the house. So that was 2 weeks of showing up in person, doing some antics. You know, our movie features animals that are actually people in mascot costumes. So there was some obvious marketing tie in there. We would wrestle beavers in the audience during the Q&A. And that just generated more and more attention so that we were able to have a big New York premiere, a big Los Angeles premiere. And that just continued to snowball, pun intended, until the movie has shown in well over 300 theaters across the United States over the last year and a half. And we've made nearly $1.5 million at the box office, and we're still going. There are still screenings that pop up every week all around the country.
I mean, this is a little guy, small business, you know, success story of we're so used to everything is locked into, you know, what the corporate way is. And you've got to be in this mainstream lane. And if you're not currying favor, you know, you're never going to be out there. And this is a reminder that, you know, through the internet and guerrilla marketing and everything else, if you're willing to do the work, you can still get the attention, even if you don't start with, you know, all the bells and whistles that other people might have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we had the right movie at the right time. I will guarantee all of your listeners that Hundreds of Beavers has more laughs per minute than any other film you can find. If you do not feel that way after you watch it, you can have your money back. Just email me. It's a funny movie, and people had not been coming to theaters to get together and laugh their butts off with a room full of strangers in years. I mean, can you remember the last time you were in a movie theater with a crowd and everyone was screaming laughing?
No.
Yeah, right. So that's what, so at the end of the day too, I think Mike and Ryland made such a funny movie that people found, I think, uniquely healing in a way in the kind of crazy times that we live in. And now the coolest thing is it's just developed its own cult following. If you follow us on Hundreds of Beavers social, which is on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Blue Sky, we're on everything we can be. You'll see that people around the world have Hundreds of Beavers tattoos. People are making Hundreds of Beavers merch. People, I just got in touch with a guy today who has a licensing agreement with Lego, and he's going to make Hundreds of Beavers Legos. The thing is just really taken on off on its own. But it all started with, you know, a couple guys in a van just roadshowing it around the Midwest.
Oh, my goodness. And the roadshow has clearly paid off. As I was looking at the trailer, there are a lot of film festival marks here, including one from Atlanta, Kansas City, Phoenix. This is getting attention. It's building.
Yeah. And our festival, it's kind of confusing to follow. Like our festival run, we were able to play in all those film festivals well before our roadshow. And that's what showed us that we had a good movie, right? Like all these festivals were taking the movie in, and we would go and visit them, and we would watch with the audiences. And we just saw, like, wow, we know we have a good movie. Why isn't Hollywood paying attention? Why aren't they jumping on board this, right? Like movie theaters are struggling. Movies are bombing. This is the kind of thing maybe people want to see. And that's why, you know, we had the guts to then take it out on our own. But the coolest thing about it is, you know, other than that first 2 week roadshow, we haven't had to show up in person to a single screening. The movie's just kind of carried on a life of its own. And we get frequent requests from people all over the country to play it again in their city.
It is. You might have a better example than mine, but I can just say that at the time when my daughters were teenagers, for them, it was Napoleon Dynamite was this film that I saw the first time. Sherry and I looked at it and we're like, what the hell are our daughters watching? And then, we watched it a second time. And, of course, by the third time, we're quoting the lines. And we're probably quoting the lines more than our kids now are at this point because they're adults. And it goes, you never know where that next thing is going to hit, where it's going to connect with folks. Clearly, you're making a connection here somewhat in that vein.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Napoleon Dynamite's a great film. I grew up with that film. The director's having a very good couple of weeks because he directed the Minecraft movie, which is doing very good business, if you haven't heard.
I had no idea. I took my 11-year-old grandson last week. Been talking about that. In fact, I mentioned this morning, I'm sure the 11-year-old's not listening, so spoiler alert, his Easter basket gift includes a t-shirt about Steve's lava chicken from the Minecraft movie because he can't stop singing the song. So again, you just don't know what's going to catch with folks, and you know, you work at it and people notice and there it is.
Yeah, absolutely. If you say chicken jockey to a Gen Z kid right now, they will scream and throw popcorn at you. And you know what? Like, look, I'm going to be honest. I did not understand that movie. I did not like it at all.
Nope.
But I really find it encouraging to see kids coming back into the movie theaters. I think movie theaters have just really, really struggled since COVID. And I understand that you can watch almost any movie at home. And I also understand it's very expensive to get to the movie theater. So I think it's on us as movie producers to actually put on a show, to make it an event, and to make it a fun time, because people are spending a lot of money to do it.
And frankly, again, not to get political, there's always room for comedy. But as somebody who, you know, I grew up with slapstick. I love slapstick. My wife often says that she doesn't, but then I'll catch her chuckling with, you know, something that I'm watching. And I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, I chuckle at all of the Avengers movies, but that ain't a slapstick movie. We need a little bit more of that in our lives these days.
Yeah, I want the healing power of a belly laugh, you know, like a belly, like a deep belly laughing. And yeah, you don't get that with the kind of clever humor, I think, even from like movies like Deadpool and Wolverine. They're popular, they're funny, but a lot of their humor comes from irony and like self-referential stuff. And I think we're just done with that. And I think it's time to kind of go back to our roots in comedy. And all the movies we're going to work on next are all going to be in that same vein.
Let's talk about how people can see it and who should see it. First off, where would you put it in, you know, is it more of a PG-13 or how would you rate that for parents who are listening going, is this something I want to watch with my kid who is this age?
That's a great question because we couldn't afford to have the Hollywood system give it a rating. It's cost a lot of money to submit for that. I would call it a PG-11 or a PG-12. So it's right around there. There is a lot of animal violence, but it's all done on mascots. Keep an eye out for that. Depends on your comfort level. But really, if you let your kids watch Looney Tunes, if you would let your kids watch
That's
Looney
what
Tunes,
I was gonna
you, can
say.
Let, yep. you can let them watch Hundreds of Beavers. It's right in that same vein.
And honestly, I think we might be better off if more kids were watching Looney Tunes instead of some of what they're seeing out there these days. So you've had the showings, but obviously, you know, streaming is the big option as well. So there are plenty of streaming options for Hundreds of Beavers too?
Plenty of streaming options. So if you have a little bit of cash you want to throw our way, the way we make the most money is if you buy or rent it digitally on Amazon or iTunes. However, you know, we know it's tough times, so we wanted to make it widely available for free. So it is on YouTube with ads. Don't love it, but you can watch it for free and Tubi and a bunch of other streaming services. So if you just Google it and follow us on social, you can also keep track of when we do actual theatrical screenings, which we've done a number of and we will continue to as long as we can.
That sounds great. Kurt Ravenwood, producer for Hundreds of Beavers. This was such a thrill getting to hear more about this. Can't wait to catch it all. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much, Pat. Have a great one.
All right. You as well. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Maggie Dawn Show after this. I'm Pat Kreitler.